Growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid of my parents and community's beliefs. I made that belief system more important than my own needs and happiness. Looking back, I can't fault anyone for that, not even quote-unquote God. I now have clarity in decisions and choices I make. I'm fully engaged in finding joy in my life, in my own way, without the influence and construct of others. This is an uplifting discussion from there to now.
Hello, everyone. It's Heather Monge, and I'm here with Tara Wright.
Hello.
She is my golfing buddy.
Yes.
We take golfing very seriously, but then other times we don't.
Yeah. A whole mix, right?
Yeah. It's a big mix, and it's so much fun. And I was telling her about my podcast, I Drink the Kool-Aid, and I was asking you, what Kool-Aid did you drink? And we got on the subject of the rat race. Mm-hmm. And I find this fascinating. We know that men deal with the rat race probably more so than women in a traditional sense and in the past couple of generations. I think that's shifting and changing now.
Yeah.
And there's pressure to get into the workforce. There's pressure to make a lot of money, to excel, to go to the next level, to go to the next level, to work up the corporate chain, to work up whatever chain there is in your workspace and accumulate accolades. And then at one moment, all of a sudden you retire. And then what happens, right? After your family's been raised, and that's the traditional thought, right? But now we've got two women here.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a woman's perspective in the rat race. And I have found myself working and excelling and achieving and behaving as a man.
Yeah.
And I succeed really well at it, too. I get straight to the point. I don't talk about emotions. I, you know, do things in a very quick, timely manner. And of course, this is all trained to me by my dad. So I learned how to operate well in a man's world and succeed and produce and make a lot of money and all of those things. And to know you on a personal level, Tara, and to know you on a spiritual level and as this beautiful intuitive, and to know that you were in the finance industry and that you worked with the stock market, I freaking love that. And you came to a really beautiful awareness during this job. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this job that you're in, because you transitioned out of this and created a different type of lifestyle for yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I did trading on the stock market for a financial firm, and they, you know, had billions of dollars in assets. There was a lot of trading going on, and it was here where we are. The stock market is open from around 7:30 a.m. ish. We could start until 2 p.m. It closes, and it was go, go, go. Like, I mean, I actually got me an Apple Watch to at the time to remind myself to stand up, because you could be so engrossed in the work that hours would go by and you would not realize.
Staring at a computer screen.
The whole time.
And just, what are you doing?
You're trading. So there are...
What does that look like? Just click, click,
boring. You're on a computer screen. Yes. You're like copy, paste, control, shift. No, I don't know. I worked with shortcuts as much as possible, for sure. Because then you're not typing in numbers. You know, if you can copy and paste a number, you know, you're not going to mess up as much.
Right. And you're given directives on what to purchase and what to sell.
Yes, I was giving directives. And we would do like company-wide rebalances. So you're rebalancing, you know, thousands of accounts at a time. So you'll be doing like one trade, like buy this, sell this, but it's across thousands of accounts or hundreds of accounts. And so you have to make sure your math is right.
Oh,
there's a whole lot of pressure. You're calling into like the stock market, or you're calling into companies being like, hey, I need to train this, you know, what I need to sell this fund. And it's so big above like trading volume that they have to, you call into the market makers and they have to like give you permission to make this trade, you know? So there was a whole lot of pressure on it as well.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, I remember you wore a shungite around your neck.
Yes.
Just to protect you from all of that blue light and that energy that comes in through the screen, right?
Yeah.
Because you were trying to be vigilant about maintaining your health and
I was trying
spirituality.
Very hard. Yes.
How did you get into this job and how long were you in it for?
So I had worked previously with people with disabilities and I loved it. I worked for them in their home. I took care of them, bathed them, fed them, took them shopping. And then, you know, I found myself as a mother through this. You know, I started, you know, years before becoming a mother. And then as a mother, I'm like, wow, I'm doing the same thing day in, day out, like mm-hmm. day and night at work, at home. I wanted something different. I had taken career assessments that told me to do accounting. So I'm like, you know what? I'll go back and do accounting. And as I was getting my accounting degree, I did 1 year and I had to take a finance course, and that was so much more exciting to me. Mm. And so I ended up switching over to finance, and I excelled in the program. I did great. I loved it. I love my, you know, my professors, my classmates, and I got finance student of the year when mm-hmm. I graduated. So I did well. I loved. I'm grateful for that. It was healing for me to have that experience. And then I did an internship in our master portfolio management class with a beautiful company here in town, and they are who hired me on.
Oh, nice. So that's how I got the job. How long were you there?
6 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is so intense.
It was really intense. Yeah.
How did you manage that?
Oh, man. I would wake up and meditate and walk my dog and go to yoga. No, I would wake up, meditate, go to yoga at 6 a.m., walk my dog at 7, get my kids up, off to school, shower, and to work. I was able to work at 9, you know, so I could drop my kids off. They were a beautiful company.
Right.
So they accommodated that for me. And then I would, trade the day away. I would always be like, oh, I'm just trading the day away. I kind of was. And it took a lot of all of my energy. I remember my first few days of work, I would go into the bathroom after and I was a wreck. Like I was disheveled. And I'm like, how? I was sitting at a computer. Like, uh-huh. Why do I look like a mess, you know? Uh-huh. It really,
drained.
Wreaked havoc on my body.
Your nervous system.
On my nervous system, completely. And then I'd get off, go and do pick up my kids from school, get them home, try to, you know, get them to their activities, help them maintain friendships, cook dinner, try to clean up the house, mm-hmm. be present and happy when my husband came in the door, mm-hmm. be a good attentive wife.
Hi.
I am not saying I succeeded all this, but it was always the goal, right?
Right. There's several times I come home from work and I go into my room and shut the door. Yeah. I don't talk to anyone for an hour.
Well, and I would have to do that. I would have to tell my kids, I would just have to go in. I would go into my closet, because it was the quietest place, and I would just lay in shavasana, corpse pose, and just breathe and try to just reset myself to get the energy back to be there with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be present.
Yes.
With other people, which takes energy.
Right. So much.
So at what point did you realize this is not working for me anymore? The dream, because you went into a dream of finance and it's a freaking cool job. I mean.
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah. And it was a great company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did love it in many ways.
Uh-huh. And then what was that breaking point?
I mean, well, 2020, COVID, of course, you know, that was an eye-opener for many of us mm-hmm. about what's important. And I knew at that point, I did want to quit because I wanted to be with my kids. Uh-huh. I wanted to homeschool my kids. I wanted to just be more intentional with them, you know.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years. It was in 2022, in the summer of 2022, that I just realized, I cannot do this. I had gained 60 pounds over the 6 years. Mm-hmm. My body had changed and my energy, it was, I just feel like I couldn't do life. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was failing at life. I felt like I was just living a really slow, miserable death.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember we would get together once a month and mm-hmm. have lunch or dinner. And I remember you sharing some of these things with me and how you really desired to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then one day you were.
Yeah, I went down to California. My brother was down there with his wife and we talked I love my husband. I'm so grateful for my husband. But he was really scared. He's like, you can't quit. You can't quit. You got to keep working. You know, we have this house. And I realized that my value, and I am into spirituality and energy and intention, and I think there is so much set on the monetary system. And I feel like we use money as a means to an end. But the ends I wanted to meet didn't require money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I wanted to slow down. I wanted to clean my own house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a house cleaner because I was so busy to, you know, mm-hmm. but I would still keep up. Right. I wanted to clean my house and give that love for my family to live in and mm-hmm. take care of my home. I wanted to be present for my kids, and I wanted to be happy and not wrecked, like, you know, from a hard day, totally disheveled. When my husband walked in, I wanted to be able to kiss him and love him and greet him with a smile and be there for him. And, you know, mm-hmm. I those things are actually important to me. And it's, you know, everyone has different, but that was me thinking,
those are your values.
What is important to me?
Yeah.
You know, and that really was important to me. And my brother actually offered me, he had built a company, which he has since left, but he hired me onto his company to help negate the loss of those finances. And it offered me so much more freedom, mm-hmm. you know, in my schedule and life. So, and I still have that job.
And it's a really great workspace, too.
It is beautiful.
It's very supportive. And
yeah.
You've told me a lot about it.
Yes.
I love it. I'm just happy for you.
Thank you. I love it. And then I actually like work with a little guy with disabilities. He has a whole bunch of disabilities because I realized how much that fills my soul and my heart to care for people. So, and that's another way I can make income, but also do something I love that's important to me. And then, and I've started my Reiki.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so you have stepped into a different paradigm, a different way of life, a better quality of life, and yet you're still able to support yourself.
Yeah.
And still provide the type of lifestyle that you want.
For sure. And I could not do it without my husband. Like, for sure. He is the main provider still.
Was there anything that you had to cut out or change?
Well, I realized that a lot of my finances at the time of working that job were going to sustain it. I was getting Rolf, which is like deep massage, structural integration mm-hmm. in your body. I was doing like these crystal light beds, like light therapy. I was going to True North Float, which I love, mm-hmm. you know, and doing like floating. I was just doing so many things. Like that's like a sensory deprivation, right? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of a junkie on that side of the help, like the spirituality, energetic, trying to just clear my energy. I was constantly doing things to clear my energy to sustain this job.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
So you save money that way.
Yeah. When I cut all those out, I'm like, oh, I'm actually okay.
You lowered your healthcare costs.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, honestly, let's just think about it. People who are stressed out on a consistent basis that are not taking care of themselves or have that balance, their healthcare does take a nosedive.
Absolutely.
So I kind of have a similar background in the sense that when I got divorced, I needed to evaluate how am I going to support myself. And I knew that no matter what I do, that I am going to be independent and I'm not going to depend on anyone financially and I will not need help or assistance or whatever. And from my ex-husband, from alimony, child support, I did not want to count on it. I knew I couldn't at all from mm-hmm. him. And I had run his chiropractic business and I have a natural business sense mm-hmm. and I had a secondary education degree. I really wanted to be an attorney, but at this point in my life, I had put my ex-husband's career first, and I knew that going to school would be costly, and I didn't want to accrue student debt, and I wanted to go right into making money as soon as I could.
Yeah.
And my brother suggested I get into real estate, and I literally became the real estate cookie monster. I just couldn't get enough. I was like, more, 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 more. And I was like, nom. And I was like, more. Oh my gosh, I love this. More. And within the first 6 months, I won an award, top 40 under 40 for production and service and all of these other well-rounded type of things. And of course, this screams to me. I love this. I love accolades. I love achieving. I like getting things and being I earned this. I did this. And knowing that there isn't a cap to how much money I can make. Mm-hmm. And then within 2 years, started a team of agents. And I was a single mom and my ex-husband had moved out of town. And I had two kids under the age of 8 or 7. And I'll tell you, one was a big shithead and it was not easy. And it was challenging. So I hired a nanny. And I got to the point in my life where I did have a spiritual practice every morning. I'd wake up at 5 a.m. before anyone else woke up, and I would spend 1 hour. I dedicated 1 hour to meditating, writing in my journal, just sitting and listening to the wind rustle through the leaves, and drinking a hot beverage because that's soothing and comforting to me. And then literally getting my kids out of bed, getting them dressed, making them shove food down their throat. My daughter loves to blame me for the way she eats now. You made me eat fast. I'm like, not like that. It's like a whole hot dog or a hamburger. She's like,
yeah.
Anyways, and dropping them off at school and then having the nanny pick them up and then having the nanny help them with their homework. Oh, I detest homework. Actually, I really, really detest motherly chores, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to help you with homework.
Homework is rough.
Right?
Yes.
And then getting them ready and fed and all of these things. I just really enjoyed, you know, being 100% focused on real estate. So she would make dinner for them and then bedtime, I'd show up about 8 o'clock. I had worked out. I had like wound down my day. Sometimes I met a friend for dinner and I'd be like, hi, good night. I love you. Mwah. And then repeat. And I honestly loved it so much. And I didn't see anything wrong with it. But I started to get these little spiritual breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And it was get licensed in Utah, start doing real estate in St. George. Start a team in St. George, move to St. George. And I was like, this is weird. Okay, but I'm going to follow it because I had started to recognize what these little breadcrumbs look like and what these little messages were and to learn to trust, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess, thank God, I had this spiritual practice because I am I love controlling things. Don't you love to control an outcome?
Great. Yeah. Yes.
But I learned to just be like, okay, listen. And now, 7 years later, I look back at that knowing that I needed to get out of that environment and I needed to be in Southern Utah where everything is about 50% slower.
Yeah.
The energy's slower. Things are more tranquil.
Yes.
There's no traffic.
Well, we're a retirement community.
Yeah.
We've grown much more beyond that, but originally it was a retirement community, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I took a sabbatical. I started a sabbatical about a month before COVID happened, ironically.
Wow.
I turned my team over to my head team leader in Las Vegas, and I decided to just keep the two remaining agents on my team in Utah. But then COVID happened, and then they quit, and all of a sudden, it's just me. Yeah. And I knew that I needed to dial back everything because at this point I had 3 businesses and I had 2 short-term rental properties and I just wanted to do more. And when I won this award, it was top 25 women in real estate. It was the most coveted award that I received and I was super excited. And you know what my dad said to me when I told him I had won it?
What?
That's great. When are you going to slow down?
Dang.
I know.
Well, there's a breadcrumb.
Right? But I didn't actually listen to it or pay attention to it until 2 years later.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for it because during that sabbatical, I learned the art of being versus doing.
Yes.
Because in this world, we are so trained and programmed to do and to have checklists and to go and go and go. But when is anyone having any downtime or quiet time to really check in with themselves and to tune into things besides this rat race and to keep up with the Joneses?
Yeah, it is really, really hard. I think I still, you know, battle with it. I still have this inner voice. It's like, but what are you doing, Tara? What are you doing? Like, I'm not.
What are you accomplishing?
Doing enough. Yeah. Like, why aren't you rising up in this world? And it is hard. So I felt like I was just kind of, I mean, we call it a rat race hamster wheel. I feel like I was on a hamster wheel, just like, and I would fall off and be like, try to get back on. And I kind of got to this point when I quit my job at the end of 2022, I had found out about a fast and I knew I needed to do it. It was 21 days of fasting. You're just only drink water for 21 days. I was like,
in Costa Rica,
you can do that?
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that was even a possibility. And every part of me called me to do that. And I'm like, this has got to happen. So, yeah, I, you know, used some reserves, I guess, to make that trip happen for me. And I went to Costa Rica a year ago today. I would have been on day 3 of my fast, which is crazy. But I fasted for 21 days from food. Also, I didn't use like ChapStick or topical body products. So they gave us like one organic soap. Otherwise, we just used water. We used water to brush our teeth. Like, it was just completely detox. And I didn't bring books or I didn't listen to music or podcasts or anything. All the Kool-Aid I drank, I'm like, I don't want any more indoctrination. I don't want any more thoughts or ideas. I just need stillness. I need to get clear. I need to get down to who am I? Like, what, you know, I need to. And And it was so cool, so beautiful, so grateful.
Unlayering?
Yeah, unlayering a lot. Like, I had experienced, like, a big trauma in my life 26 years prior. Uh-huh. And I felt my body physically release the trauma. Mm. Like, muscles
that
had been...
like?
It was a releasing of muscles.
Oh.
Like, it was just, like, because I had had hip pain and just... processing. I mean, it's a whole story. It would take me.
We'll
a
do
while.
Another podcast.
So we'll have to do
on
another
that.
Podcast. But yeah, and like it helped me release that and just kind of get clear with my thoughts and what was important to me and be still and unwind my nervous system. And it's really cool. A year later, the most delicious side effect of that fast is that. Today, yesterday, every as I'm moving through my days, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to be here with my family. I get to wake my son up. I get to take him to school. I get to hang out with my husband at night. I get to, you know, gaze into his eyes every morning. And I get to go to my yoga. I get to be in my community. I, you know, I can love my life. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't, it's just been the most lush, lovely reward of doing that fast.
That's amazing.
Thank
you. I love that.
Thank you.
So tell me, why is being still and quiet and finding those quiet moments so important?
Because we're so overwhelmed and overstimulated in this day and age. There is so much coming at us that it's so easy to just trigger and react and blame other people and blame systems or whatever instead of taking accountability and instead of being still. Like, you know, it takes stillness to be aware and mm-hmm. to be able to look inward and see what you are contributing truly in an honest way, right?
Mm-hmm. To your life.
Yeah.
And your family.
Yeah. Instead of just blaming people for things being wrong, you know, or what went right too. Like, mm-hmm. it's just good to be able to see what you're actually doing. Because I was, you know, even since this fast, have had to still battle with that. Like, well, what are you doing? But what are you doing? Right?
Oh my gosh, I completely get that. So I got into commercial real estate 2.5 years ago and all immediately I found myself jumping right back into that same speed, that same mindset, everything. And I think a couple of weeks in, I even started talking fast. A couple of weeks in, I had to just literally pull myself back and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You have learned so many other things. You have changed your life. Your life is different now. Your past behavior does not need to be in this now. Yeah. And it can be changed. It could be different. And I can still draw and attract. And I did this really great talk on abundance for the community 2 years ago about abundance and money. Because being attracts money too. You don't have to be in the state of doing. And and part of that is waking up in the morning and not looking at your phone.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
That stimulation. Waking up in the morning and literally tuning into yourself and touching base with yourself, right?
Yes.
And then even at bedtime, making sure that you have that wind down and that quiet time. Mm-hmm. Also then without stimulations of TV and phone and talking.
Grounding. I love to just put my feet in the grass, like in the morning and just like, you know, face towards the sun. I'll keep my eyes closed. I don't stare at it. But, you know, just let the sun like come in through my eyelids and bathe me and just have some earth. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I feel like we're really disconnected from nature.
We are
in these
from
days.
Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Now, some people, I know some people who don't even open their blinds.
Oh, I know. I can't imagine.
I can't
imagine
that.
This is my favorite
part
of the day.
Me too.
Open the blinds.
And let the sunlight
start
stream
the day.
In. I can't do anything else.
I cannot function that way. It's, for sure.
So basically the rat race is taking us away from Mother Earth. It's taking us away from ourselves in our highest and truest forms.
Yeah. And I think from being intentional and being kind and gentle with ourselves and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's huge because what is life but us as people, like what we're creating? I mean, there's so much more to life. That was ridiculous to say, but you know what I mean?
But then once you retire, and I've seen this with men, they have lived their whole lives with this structure, with this rat race, with achieving and moving forward and doing and bringing in money. And then they retire. And then what happens? A lot of them die prematurely.
Yeah.
Or they literally have no vigor or...
Yeah. Well, I think I can't speak for men. I'm not a man, right? But I think some men, like, they would like support and they don't want to have to kill it all day, every day. But I think there is some pride in, and like, I don't know, in taking care of your family, mm-hmm. you know, I think that my husband has pride in that.
Mm-hmm. I know my dad does.
Yeah.
Sure. And I know my dad loves it and thrives on it, which I learned all of that from him too. Just doing and going. And
yeah. But I think when we're both going and killing it all day, every day, you know, and that's what it came to is I'm in a moment of I am married and I have the situation and, you know, and so I'm going to try to make it be the best that it can be. I guess.
Well, thank you, Tara, for coming. This has
been amazing. Thanks for having me.
And we're definitely going to have to talk some more on this. We're like,
I drank all the Kool-Aid.
I know. We didn't talk about the parenting Kool-Aid. What was the other one? Spirituality Kool-Aid?
Thank you for listening to the I Drink the Kool-Aid podcast. Join us next time. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, get a hold of us at idrinkthekoolaidpodcast@gmail.com. Now let me ask you, what flavor of Kool-Aid are you drinking?
This has been a production from a podcast studio.